We're going to start the beginning of Bo. I want to start by telling a story that happened to me last night. So last night I met with a Tzohar couple, and they were sitting right here. I was sitting across, and somehow, like, a lovely young couple, they were getting married, they started talking about having children. And the chatan, and they're not young, you know, they're 30, 35, whatever. He says to me, how many children do you have? I said, thank God, we have 5 children. He says, I don't know how you do it. He said, not the children, but he's like, he was worried about the money. He said, how am I supposed to pay for 5 children? He was like, he was very worried about very worried about financial issues. I said, I don't know. I said, I have to tell you, when we were in America, we used to count every dollar. We had this program, what was it called? Money or Quicken, whatever the program was.
Mint?
Whatever it was, whatever, one of these programs. And I would mamash, every receipt, every whatever, down to the... And then when I got to Israel, I just totally gave up.
Even understand when they take them?
I didn't even bother. I said, but I have to tell you, I really feel this way, and it's like a sort of a metaphysical way. I said, you know, every time that some crazy expense comes, somehow there's the government decided that you that it owed you 4,000 shekel for back misrada, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I really feel that way. I lost 2 courses, and then all of a sudden this year Rina gained hours. You know, somebody asked her to do, and it's all in the system, you know. So there's a Gemara that I want to talk about that from Baba Batra, from actually today's Daf Yomi that got me thinking about this, and then we're gonna see this in a Rashi. It's going to get a lot more complicated than this. The Gemara says, Darash, and we're going to see a few Gemaras, as you can see. Darash, Rabbi Yudah b'Rebbe, Rabbi Shalom. He learned the same. K'shem shemizonotav shal adam k'suvim lo meirosh hashanah. Right, just like the mizonot, i.e. his parnasa, your sustenance is set from Rosh Hashanah. Kach chesronotav shal adam k'suvim lo meirosh hashanah. Right? The same thing is true about what you're going to lose from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. When the Gemara tells a story, this is actually today's Daf Yomi. Okay? Zacha, if you are meritorious, the beginning of a pasuk, halo pros l'ra'av lachmecha, you will have bread to give to those who are hungry. Lo zacha, okay? If you are not meritorious, then the rest of the pasuk is va'aniyim mirudim tavi bayit. And you will bring into your house aniyim rudim. Your house will be full of poverty. If you're meritorious, things will be good. If you're not meritorious, lo zacha, things are not very good. The Gemara tells a story. Kiha dibnei achte de Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's sister's children. His nephew. Okay, his family. Chazal hu bechilma debau lemichsa shva meot dinare. He saw in a dream that from 1 year to the next, from Yom Kippur to the next Yom Kippur, they're going to lose 700 dinar. He saw it in a dream. It was a lot of money. Okay? Ashinhu, so the whole year he's nudging them, really pressuring them. Shaka minayhu litzedakah. You got to give tzedakah this year. You got to give tzedakah this year. Meaning he saw in a dream they were going to lose 700 dinars, so he's nudging them.
Meaning that they should lose it by giving tzedakah.
Correct.
As opposed to losing it by losing it.
Correct. So the whole year he's nudging them, so they give a lot of tzedakah. Push gabayu shivsar dinare. So they're left 17 dinar by Yom Kippur. Okay? Kimata ma'ale yom etikipur, when the Erev Yom Kippur came, shadur debe kesar naktinhu. What do you know? A messenger from the Caesar came and fined them 17 dinar. Right? That exact amount. Amar lehu Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, lo titchilun shivsar dinari gabaychu shakilu minaychu. So he didn't know what happened. He said, did you lose 17 dinar this today? Amri lehi menan yadat. So they said, how'd you know? He said, because I saw in a dream you were going to lose 700 dinar this year. So what they asked? Why don't you tell us? So we would have given the rather 17 dinar at tzedakah. Amar, he said, I said, I wanted you to give tzedakah, I wanted you to do the mitzvah lishma. But the Gemara's whole point is, he saw in a dream. And we're going to lose 700 dinar. Nothing you can do about that. Now you have to decide. How are you not going to have this 700 dinar? Are you not going to have a 700 dinar because you're going to, a tree is going to fall in your house and you have to, fix it? or some guy's going to steal your laptop, or you're going to give it to tzedakah, or you're going to, you know, donate a sefer Torah to the shul or whatever. But it's all in the system, and there's nothing you can do to avoid that. And that's what we're going to, that's going to be the topic. We're going to use that discussion, okay, as a jumping off point, and we're going to see it in a Rashi in this week's parsha. I always felt that way. Yeah, but the reason I felt that way is because, as I'm going to show you, it's a theme that comes up over and over and over and over in the Gemara. Now, a rationalist will tell you, and when you're, what rationalist means, someone who doesn't believe in this stuff, this is all a bunch of mumbo-jumbo, but I'm not a rationalist, so, you know, do with it what you may. How does it work? I can't answer that, as we'll see. Well, we're going to see it in the Rashi. So we're going to read some Sukkim in order to get to a Rashi. There's a lot to talk about. I'll mention some of it on the way, but then we're going to get to the Rashi that I want to talk about that deals with this specific issue. Okay, Vayom Hashem el Moshe. We're beginning of Parashat Bo. Perek Yud Pasuk Aleph. Okay, we're at the end of... one second. That's, ooh, I can't talk to him. We're at the end of Barad.
Mm-hmm. Pasuk what? Aleph?
Yeah. Still recording? Yes, we are. Okay. Okay. Perek Yud Pasuk Aleph. Vayom Hashem el Moshe Bo el Paro. כי אני חברתי את ליבו ואת לב עבדיו למען שיתי אותותי אלה בקרבו. Said God to Moshe, Bo, what does Bo mean?
Come.
What should it say?
Lech.
Lech. Why does it say Bo? I have no idea. Okay. I saw some of Farshim that say that Lech and Bo are the same to God. But it's still very weird.
Yeah.
Bo means come. You don't say, it's like, that'll be a classic mistake.
Come to me, not come to Paro.
Right, right. Come over there. You never say that. Go to me. You would never say
come
that either.
Come to me.
I know, but it's bothering you.
You say come to me or
come
go
to
over there.
Here it says come to Paro.
Paro
would say come to Paro.
Right, exactly.
Come is in Latin, go is.
Right, so
really
I don't know.
Doesn't fit
right, so
no,
you.
Totally.
Question number one. Why did God say to him, like.
Maybe Hashem is on the other end as well.
One more? Like, I don't understand.
Meaning like Hashem is on the other end also. Like when you come, I'll be there also.
Ah,
like,
come with me to Paro. All right. Nice. Okay. I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants. Leman, so that shiti ototai ele bikirbo. Shiti is a very hard word to translate. All the mafarshim talk about it.
Not I put.
How does shiti mean to put?
Or drink?
Yeah.
It means to place. Okay. Rashi says sumi shashit ani. I will place. That's what it means. Others say, what do they call? We were in the tunnel tours yesterday. Okay. So what's the name of the rock on the dome of the mount in Hebrew? Anybody know?
Jesus.
It's called the Eben Shtiyah. From what word? It's not the drinking water. Not the drinking water.
From
Eben Shtiyah from Tashtit. Okay, the foundation stone. Okay. So the man Shiti Ototai Ela Bekirbo. Could be from that word, from shiti, I will place as a foundation. The only problem is, so that's another interpretation, another problem. Hichbaditi levo levo vadav. The problem, why does it say hichbaditi? Hichbaditi is in the past. What should it say? Achbir et lev paro ve lev avadav. So some say that I hardened his heart to get to this point. I did it so that we'll do it next. So not that I'm going to do it now. Okay? Uleman. תספר באוזני בנך ובן בנך את אשר התעללתי במצרים ואת אותותי אשר שמתי בם וידעתם כי אני השם. And so that you will tell the story in the ears of your children and your grandchildren that which I have להתעולל. להתעולל? What? Abuse. Or what do they say in the English? Say in the name, you will tell in the ears of your child, your grandchild. What?
Made a mockery.
Made a mockery. Right, to joke around with, to fool, make a fool of. Hitalalti, it's a funny, it's an interesting word. Ve'eto totash esamti bam, and the signs that I place in them. Vidatem keni Hashem, you will know that I am Hashem. It's important to note that this is one of the first times that God is talking to Moshe about children and grandchildren. Meaning, like the idea of a slave. Slaves don't, they don't think about their children even. Why don't they think about their children?
They can't plan any future.
There's no future, and they're not their own children. And even their own children belong to their master. That's the way slaves work. And the guy could decide, I sold them to whatever. Right? So you don't plan your children's future. And the idea of thinking about telling a story to your grandchildren is even more than that. Whoever thought about their grandchildren? You know, it's a very interesting question. How many of us, we think about our children, do we plan for our grandchildren? Right? The choices that do we make choices based on our grandchildren as well? I will tell you, that was an issue for me for Aliyah. You know,
it was an issue.
Yeah, I had thought, like, meaning right.
Okay, I was going to say, it was a good push factor for me.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
It was a pull factor. What's that?
It was a good pull factor for
me. It's a matter of consideration.
Yeah.
You know, like, in two ways, one for good and one for bad. One, I wanted my grandchildren to know each other. And those of us who live in America, if you grew up in America, it's very spread out. It's really spread out. And like the example I don't tell him this, but I have an uncle who lives here in Yerushalayim, and we got very close. And his children and their grandchildren, they see each other a lot because Israel's just not so big. You know what I'm saying? So they have family things, and it's not a big deal to come, and then they all go their way, but they all know each other. That's one thing. The second thing is, how many people believe that, you know, the Gola is going to be an inviting place? Okay, let's say for your grandchildren, who knows? For your great-grandchildren? Do you think it's going to go on forever? Does anybody think it's going to go on forever? You're looking funny.
Who knows?
Who knows? Right? Just history, if history is any indication, right? At some point it's going to go bad. And any indication at all. Right? So, what? What's that?
Go bad here too.
This is all depends on the metaphysical thing. Binyan Bayit, et cetera, et cetera. Right? There are no guarantees anywhere. But if you would ask me where are our chances better, for our descendants in Eretz Yisrael or in the Gola, I would submit to you that our chances are better. Not for every single person, but our chances are better in the long run here. Whatever. It's just an interesting question. Like, we all live so minute to minute. Like yes, of course we think about our children, but do we think about our grandchildren? Do we plan two generations down the road? Do we make decisions based on those plans? You know? It's an interesting question. Vayavo Moshe v'Aaron el Paro v'yemur elav. Moshe and Aaron came to Paro and they said, so saith the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, ad matai, till when, me anta, have you held back from answering me? Send my nation, v'abduni, and they will serve me. Ki ima en ata l'shalech et ami, hinem mevi machar arbe bigvulecha. If you ma'en, lema'en, to refuse to send my nation, I will send tomorrow Arbe, like that? Arbe, what does it sound like?
Lots.
Arbe, right, it sounds like Israelis. Arbe, right? It's a perfect name, because it's a lot. Locus, right? V'chisa et ein ha'aretz, v'leuchal yirot et ha'aretz, v'achal et yeter ha'pleita, nisharet lachem min ha'baran. Okay, and they will cover the land. You won't even see the land. And they'll eat whatever was left from the barad, from the hail. V'achal kol ha'etz ha'tzomerech lachem min ha'sadeh. And they'll eat all the trees. And they will fill your houses and the houses of all your servants and the houses of all of Egypt. Asher l'ra'u avotecha v'avot avotecha miyom heyotam al ha'adama ad hayom hazeh. Right? You never saw such a thing, your parents and your grandparents, from their existence until today. It's interesting, I just noticed this, that God talked about children and grandchildren,
right,
and now Moshe comes and talks about your father and your grandfather. I'm not sure, whatever. Okay? Vayifen vayetze mein paro. And Moshe, like, stomps out. I'm out of here. Goodbye.
He turns his back on
him. Right. Very big chutzpah. Now, it's very interesting. One second. The Kliyakar says something fascinating. He says that this arbe was so great. He says God left a siman, that the Arbe was so terrible, he said, there was also a promise that Egypt would never be afflicted by locusts ever again.
After.
That there was this Arbe and no Arbe ever again. Why? Because if there was no Arbe ever again, then they would all remember this Arbe. Remember the great Arbe of, the great, you know, locusts of. I don't know if it was factually, if you can prove that there were never any locust plagues in Egypt. We know that there were in Eretz Yisrael, but I don't know about later on. I really don't know factually. Okay. Vayomru Abdei Paro Elav. So now his avadim get into it. They say to him, Ad matai yezalanu lemokesh? A mokesh is a stumbling block. How long will this be for a mokesh? Some of Farshim say, what is zeh? Who's zeh? So they say, vayifen vayetzei meim paro. Moshe turns to leave, and Moshe's walking out, and they say, Ad matai yezeh lanu lemokesh? They're pointing at him. How long are we going to, we're like, I don't have to deal with this guy. Enough already. Shalach et ha'anashim v'yavdu et Hashem Eloheihem. Then they send him out, or let them worship their God. Haterem teidaki avdam Yitzrayim. Don't you know Egypt is lost? What are you waiting for? Enough is enough. Vayushav et Moshe et Aaron. So like, if you have to picture, like, if you're the director, like you're writing the script, right? He says they point, and then that vayushav et Moshe, and they say Moses, right? Hey, come back before they're like they haven't. They're already on the way out, and they bring them back. El Paro vayomer lehem l'chu yivdu et Hashem Eloheichem. All right, you can go. Mi v'mi haholachi. Very strange language. What would you say?
Mi
ha'olchim. What does it mean? Mi va mi. Right? Mi hu zeh, v'ye zeh. Right? Mi, it's very strange.
Why would he even ask the question? If he's sending them, he's sending them.
No.
Why?
Who are you taking?
The assumption is...
What's the assumption?
When he says, shalach etami, the assumption is...
No.
Really? If you said, what's the whole thing? The whole thing is we want to go 3 days in the desert, right? And worship God. Okay, go ahead.
Who's gone?
Meaning, like, not even all the men. Pick like 100 and go do what you want, okay? Enough is enough, okay? Vayomer Moshe, binareinu ubizkeinenu nelech, bevaneinu ubivnoteinu, bitzoneinu ubikareinu nelech, kichag Hashem lanu. By the way, this is a beautiful pasuk. What?
Yeah.
I didn't hear.
What?
Abraham Fried's song. Right, that's true. It's a beautiful song because it's a beautiful idea because it's the ethic of our religion. Right? Our religion is not a religion of adults. It's a religion of all, about, you know, and this should be our mantra. Binareinu bizkeinenu. Right. Binareinu bizkeinenu nelech. We go with our children, we go with our own.
Answers
the me va me.
We
have a name of both. A B going. A B going. Mi vami alchim. Nice, I like that. So Moshe says, who? Mi vami alchim? I like that. She's like very
great.
We have a name. Okay. So name Karenu Nelech. So like there's like a poetry to it. Like, you know. Kichag Hashem lanu. So we gotta take everybody. Now it's interesting. Mi vami alchim, I think I saw. I don't know if it's Kliyakar again, maybe Or Chaim. He didn't say, it wasn't a question, mi v'mi ha'olchim. He says, when you go to our worship, mi v'mi ha'olchim. These and these are the people that go. And Moshe said, no. We don't worship like you know worship. We worship like we know worship. And why? He says, because we have to go with everyone. Why do you need your children? What kind of person? It's a chag. Ki chag Hashem lanu. When we do a chag, right? How do you have a chag? A person can't celebrate and enjoy a chag when he's sitting by himself and his children are in slavery in Egypt. Right? We don't do that. We have a chag with his children and with his wife. You know, baneinu ubibnotenu, zachar unikeva. Everybody goes. You celebrate as a family. And that's a unique part of Judaism as well. That the celebration is part of the, like we believe in this, that this part of the chag is part of the religious celebration. And we do it as a family, and we do it as a, you know, in togetherness, and that's the beauty of the religion. Okay, so we're all going. What's the implication if we're all going?
We're not coming back.
Right, we're all going, okay? Vayomer Eliyahu, he says, Yichen Hashem imachem. This is like very, it's like, I don't even know how to parse this. Yichen Hashem imachem, ka'asher ashalach etchem ve'et tabchem.
May God be with you.
No, right. Your God will be with you when I send you together with your children. Like, what's that tone? It sounds like sarcasm to me. You know what I'm saying? What? I don't know. How would you?
I don't know. It's like,
what's the?
All right, go. May the force be with you.
What meaning? But it's not may the force be with you real. May the force be with you.
God help you. Good luck to you.
Good luck to you. Sarcastically. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know.
God help you.
God help you. But when you say God help you, what does that mean?
Like your God better be able to.
I mean, you better be able to back this up. The irony is, of course, what's power telling? He doesn't mean it that way, but he's telling the truth.
But he's also acknowledging that there is a God.
Look at the end.
It sounds sarcastic.
He's also trying to curse and he's giving a blessing.
Right. It sounds sarcastic. Okay. Re'u ki ra'a neged p'neichem. Look ki ra'a neged p'neichem. Translate for me, please.
There is evil.
There is evil.
It's opposite your
faces. Opposite your faces. What in the world does that mean? Really?
Yes.
Is an Egyptian God. You want to go there? So therefore what? What is he saying?
See that Ra is in front of you.
No, that's a little much for me. I'm going to go somewhere. Ra is Ra.
Second one.
What do you mean?
Re'u.
Ki.
I think so.
Yeah.
Moshe is naming the Egyptian God.
No, it's
Paro. Paro's naming the Egyptian god. Ooh, see, Ra is opposing you. I'm going to say something that you're going to be more upset about, but I don't know. I find that one I don't get. I don't buy that. Ooh, see, Ra. Ra in Hebrew.
It's
bad. Bad is against you. What's he saying? So what's the pshat? Before we get to the midrash, what's the pshat? Ooh, ki Ra neged p'neichem. Who do we say pshat? Okay. We'll look at Ibn Ezra. Ki ara'a krova mikem. Wickedness is close mikem because of you. V'neged p'neichem hi. It's meaning v'im zeh hatam dabek. This is what it means. What is Paro telling them? Re'u ki ra'a neged p'neichem. That will be this whole pasuk. It will be the day when I send you. Your God better be with you if I send you and your children. Re'u si ki ra'a neged p'neichem. And there, what, meaning what? What's he saying? What does it sound like?
He's like threatening them.
What?
He's kind of threatening.
Yeah, he's threatening them. Yeah. He's threatening. So there's two ways of understanding it. It sounds like in the pshat, Ra'ah neged p'neichem, you are this close. Meaning, yeah, you've been slaves until now, and I've been nice, and I've taken the punishments, and I haven't done anything, but you're pushing me. Don't push me too hard. Okay? I'll read you the Midrash. The Midrash is in Shmot Rabbah. Okay? Ra'ah k'neged p'neichem, says the Midrash. Mahu ra'ah k'neged p'neichem. What does this mean? So Paro said, Derech ha-buchurim v'azakenim lisboach. Really? Young children? Old people are going to offer sacrifices? No, it doesn't matter. You only said you wanted to go 3 days away. Now you're going to be running away. Okay? Im tomar. If you say lo kein machshavotchem livroach, you're not really want, you don't really want to run away. Im kein lechuna hagvarim, let the men go. Fine. No, why? Because why do you need the little children? Ela ki ota atem mevakshim. Okay. Go. That's all you're asking for, to serve. If that's all you're asking for, no. Ra'a atem mevakshim laasot livroach atem chafetzim. What's the ra'a that you're asking for? Re'u ki ra'ah neged p'neichem. You're asking to do something terrible. You're asking to run away. Okay, so that's what he's saying. According to the Midrash, one possible pshat is, let's read the pasuk again. Vayomer. He says to them, Yichen Hashem imachem ka'asher ashalach etchem b'etabchem. Well, let God be with you. Your God will be with you. Re'u ki ra'ah neged p'neichem. I'm not going to send you out. You guys are trying to run away. Okay, is that a pshat?
No.
You don't like it? I actually, that's one shot. I like the second shot, that it's a threat. Ra'ah neged p'neichem. There's something that's neged p'neichem that's threatening you, that's against you.
I mean,
Ramban says, what's the targum?
It doesn't, but the second one does fit in. I mean, it's obvious to Paro, no, that they aren't doing that. I mean, like, even though they've asked to go for 3 days, it's obvious that they, to Paro,
Why?
Because
they want to go worship.
He's suspicious, but they're taking everyone and everything.
Now, that's exactly what he's saying. Okay, so that's one. That's a midrash shot, right? You guys are trying. You're just trying to run away. You're lying to me. You're evil. The other one is, I'm going to threaten you. Now we go to Rashi, and this is the crux of what we're going to talk about. Look at Rashi, long Rashi. Rashi on Re'u Riki Ra'a Neged Penechem. Rashi says Kitar Gumo. Unklus. Sadly, I'm not the biggest unklus expert. Okay. Ra neged p'neichem. What is it? Chazu are bisha de atun svirin le me'evad le kabel apechon le istachara. Okay, see that are bisha, are because bisha, they're bad, the negative, de atun svirin le me'evad, that you want to do. Le kabel apechon le istachara. I think it means to get out free, to get your to receive your faces, neged p'neichem, in freedom. You're trying to run away. That's the Midrash. So Rashi believed that the pshat was, you're trying to run away. That's what Rashi believed. Umidrash Agadah Shamati. Now, this is what we want to look at. Says the Rashi in Midrash Agadah. Kochav echad yesh sheshmo Ra'ah. There is a star whose name is Ra'ah. Amar lahem Paro, said Paro, Ru'e ani ba'atzdig ninut sheli. I see through my sorcery. Oto kochav oleli krachem ba'midbar. I see this star rising against you in the desert. V'hu siman dam v'hariga. It is the sign of dam, of blood, and killing, and death. U'keshechatu Yisrael be'egel, u'bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'hargam. When the Jewish people sinned in Cheder Egel and God wanted to kill him, Amar Moshe b'tfilato, we're going to see this in a second, we're going to look at it, Lama yomru mitzayim le'mor b'ra'ah hotziyam. Okay, we're going to, actually, let's take a look at it now. Okay, Rashi's going to quote, later on when they come times of Egypt. Turn two, hold your place here, Perek Lamed Bet. Cheder Egel. We know the story. Okay. Turn to Lamed Bet Yud Aleph. Lamed Bet 32:11. We know the story. They sin. They build the golden calf. God gets really mad. Okay. And says, I'm going to destroy the people. And says to Moshe, dare me not to. I beg you, give me a reason not to. Okay. And Moshe's got a Perek Lamed Bet Pasuk Yud Aleph. Yud Aleph. Vayichal Moshe. This is where we read on fast days. Vayichal Moshe et v'nei Hashem Elokav. Moshe vayichal. Don't really know what it means. He beseeched God. Vayomer, he said. Lama Hashem yechere apcha be'amecha. Asher otzeita me'eretz Mitzrayim bechoach gadol ubechiyad chazaka. Why are you so angry at this nation, your nation that you took out of Egypt? Okay, with such a great strong arm, with such great strength, ubiyad chazaka, and a strong hand. Lama yomru Mitzrayim lemor. Why should the Egyptians say, Bira'ahotziyam, laharogotam beharim, ulechalotam me'al pnei adama. Why should the Egyptians say, we'll read the pshat, Bira'ahotziyam, he just took them out for an evil purpose, to kill them in the mountains, and to destroy them from the earth. Shuv mecharon apecha, vihinachem al hara'a le'amecha. Return, go back from your wrath, i.e., don't be so angry, and vihinachem, be consoled on the ra'a le'amecha, on the negative, on the evil that you wanted to do. See, Moshe says to God, what are the Egyptians going to say? It's going to be a shanda for the goyim. That's basically Moshe's complaint, right? What are the goyim going to say? It's going to be a chil Hashem. And God can't do a chil Hashem. He can't, because that's the worst thing. And so therefore, you're stuck with us. You got to calm down. Take it easy. We'll figure it out. Says Rashi, read it this way. Lama yomru Mitzrayim, what should the Egyptians say? Lemor. He took them out under the constellation of the star called Ra'ah. And because he did that, they were destined leharogotam beharim. It was already foreordained that they were going to be killed. Ulechalotam al pnei adama, and to destroy them. No. Shuv micharon apecha, right? Don't get so angry. Vinachem al hara'ah le'amecha. And be consoled from this Ra'ah. Turn back to our Rashi. Now we understand what Rashi is talking about. Okay? Back to Rashi. U'kishechatu Yisrael ba'egem. U'bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu lehargam. When God wanted to kill them. Amar Moshe b'tvilato. Moshe said, Lama yomru Mitzrayim le'mor b'ra'ah hotziyam. Why do you take them out? They're going to say, b'ra'ah. Zuhi sha'amar lehem. See, that's what Paro said. Ru'u ki ra'ah neged p'neichem. Look, I saw. I talked to my sorcerers. This isn't going to work. It's going to be bad. Miyad vayinachem Hashem al hara'ah. Like this ra'ah. God was consoled on the ra'ah.
It's not consoled,
I'm sorry.
It's like
vayinachem.
No, it's like vayinachem Hashem ki asat ha'adam ba'aretz. That it's an element of regret.
Okay.
It's
a, i.e.
like
God changed his mind, right. And
so to speak.
What's the word?
Reconsidered,
reconciled, I don't know. Okay. How did he do this? The rest of the Rashi is critical. Hafach et Adam Lidam Mila Shemal Yehoshua Otam. He transformed the blood to the blood of Mila, that Yehoshua circumcised them. V'zeu she'ne'emar, and that's what it says, Hayom galoti et cherpat Mitzrayim aleichem. Yehoshua circumcised all of Bnei Yisrael when?
Into Eretz
Yisrael. The Gemara says something unbelievably strange. For 40 years in the desert, they didn't do Mila. There was a ruach tzvonit.
It was dangerous
for them, a northern wind that prevented them from doing Mila. So they did the Mila in the desert right before they entered Eretz Yisrael. Shayumu ayu omrim lachem dam anu ro'im alechem bamidbar. Right, the sorcerers said, we saw something. We saw blood in the desert. It's going to be blood. So what does Paro say? Lo. Now we have to read the pasuk again. Yichen imachem asher shalach etchem ve'etachem. Well, God, your God better be with you when I send you. Why? Re'u ki ra'ah neged p'nechem. You want to run away? Not a good idea.
There's nothing good waiting for you
in the desert. I see blood. So the interesting thing is, what should Rashi say? What do we expect Rashi to say? What should the Midrash say? The Midrash should say, what should the Midrash say, Laura? What do you think?
I don't know, but this is so weird.
Paro sees blood, and what should we say?
So what? Blood of the Egyptians.
They have their sorcerers.
And it's nonsense.
And it's nonsense.
Why would God send them to...
And they have their sorcerers, and we, whatever, who cares about their constellations and their... It's astrology, by the way.
This is
astrology.
Israel.
Oh, very good. And we're going to see that in a second. And what is but what does Rashi say based on the Midrash?
Israel.
No. It's true.
Right.
It's true.
That's what I said. Israel. Not only is it true, it affects the Jewish people.
Right. But the only question is, we can determine the outcome of that mazal and direct it in a direction that fulfills the constellation, but in a different way, in a positive way.
What, that the blood is the blood of Brit Mila?
Yes.
Wow.
Now, it's interesting. Why did Rashi bring this? Rashi tries to bring Pshat all the time.
Yeah, this is...
Right? But he brings it. Right? So you're like, you know, you ask me, why am I... I don't know, I'm not into it per se, but I think there's something strong in this. You see it over and over, this theme in Chazal. Right, that there are again, someone's listening to this who's a rationalist, there are, you know, you could reject this if you'd like to.
What?
They've already turned it off. Right.
Rashi, I thought, is Musar Haskell whenever he brings the Midrash.
No, Rashi says the reason I bring Midrashim is to come to the closest interpretation of Pshat. So the when he did that, he said,
how I learned at Stern.
Really? At Stern?
Absolutely. Yes. I think it's
more too. Rashi is always to teach you at Musar Haskell?
Not always, but when Rashi's
Pshat,
right?
Oh, one second. What you're saying is the Pshat Rashi thinks, what does Rashi think is Pshat? He tells you what I think is Pshat.
Targumo.
Right? This is not Pshat. And now I bring a Midrash. So he says the Midrash is Musar Haskell? That's what Rabbi Cohen says? Mordechai Cohen, right?
I feel bad quoting because it was 20 years ago.
Okay, so what's Rashi? That's fine. At least you remember that. That's pretty good.
I don't remember anything I learned there.
So what's the Musar Haskell? But
this predestination of the
correct,
sorcerers.
Correct. To what degree?
It's like being born under Mercury. You could either be a murderer or a...
Oh, we're going to get to that. Very good. Excellent. The famous Gemara. So I'm going to read you that Gemara in Shabbat. Very good. Okay? Chazal bought into that. They believed that. But you can interpret that in a different way. So okay, let's see Kli Yakar. If you have Kli Yakar. Kli Yakar is very into this idea. Re'u ki ra'ab neged p'nechem. Says Kli Yakar, the fi sha'aru Chazal. And it's not Mercury, you'll see. Said Chazal, Haiman denolad b'mazal madim. If you were born under the Mazal, constellation of Mazal, lahavre gava asher dama, he will be a bloody person. Mai takante. Okay, what is it meaning? Asher dama, a blood spilling person. He'll be a bloodthirsty person. Mai takante. How can he fix it? Lahave tabacha o umna. Could be a shochet or a moel, or a murderer. Okay. Okay. Well, now, by the way, see, that Gemara could bother you less. You could bother you less. Why? Because you could say, nowadays...
Everybody has tendencies.
Correct. And we think that's true. Every person has certain tendencies, and our job is to guide them into using those tendencies. What? Correct. Using those tendencies. So it's not necessarily the same idea as being born as something, seeing like the mazal, seeing the star of Ra'ah, that I see bad, I see this is going to happen. It is similar, but it's not.
Hashem is greater than
Azam. Okay? But Ta'amo Shel Davar, he says, the reason for this is, the fish en HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meshadeid HaMa'aracha Mikol Kol. There's a Ma'aracha. There's a system. Okay? And Chazal, many, many of Chazal, and I have no idea how to deal with this, believed in astrology. Like there are long Gemarot about astrology and about the stars and about the different systems. There's a system. Okay, we believe in genealogy. They believed in, you know what I'm saying? We don't really know why genetics affects us anymore. You know, I was talking to my brother, the neurologist, and we were talking about different diseases. He says, yeah, like, lo aleinu, dementia, 10% is genetic. The other 90%, we have no idea. We talked about migraines, 10% genetic. Some is genetic. We have no idea. You know what I'm saying? Like, we believe in science because we were raised to believe in science. But we really have no idea. Lo aleinu, like, you know, they can tell you for what a person has. They can't tell you why the person got it.
But the astrology that they believed in is not the nonsense that's written today. Like, oh, they're this week you're going to come into luck because your moon is in this orbit of...
I never studied astrology.
No, like the stupid stuff you in the magazine or the newspaper, like horoscope.
Right, that's just... I never was raised with it, but yes, I
these aren't like quacks. These are like, you know, very rabbis, esteemed rabbis. And they might be Chabad or not Chabad, but many rabbis think about that. That's just astrology.
This is something I'm saying again. We don't talk about it because we don't know how to deal with it. We don't talk about it. But you, rabbis that I know don't talk about it because it's a big turnoff because it makes them sound like they're crazy because they associate it with. Right, it's not rational.
It's very Kabbalah.
Kabbalah talk about it a lot? They talk about it?
It's
Kabbalah.
No, it's not Kabbalah. It's not Kabbalah. It is not Kabbalah.
It's not, but it's taken, it's put in the same basket. It's the non-rational Judaism.
Those are totally different things. It is not Kabbalah at all. Kabbalah is about the systems of God, the spiritual systems of God to run the world.
But that's not really
this is not that. This is the way the physical world works. This is like the way they believe nature works, the way they understood it. Right? There are forces in nature that guide us and that have certain influences on us. That's what they believed in astrology. Where'd they get it from? Hard to know. I'm sure somebody wrote a doctorate about it. What?
It's literally Avodat Kochavim.
They're not worshiping it, no way.
But it's Avodat Kochavim, it's Havanat Kochavim. You're not worshiping
that.
But
that's why you bring your Mazal in the stars.
You say, Ra'ah, I saw this, and this is what's going to be. It's like, oh, Ra'ah, the star, is telling me the truth.
Yeah.
Believe in it, and it's prophesying the future.
That's not prophesying. It's not a prophecy. It's a fact.
It's a fact.
Yes.
Mm. Okay, Kalchomer. I mean.
No, it's not a prophecy this will happen to you. It's a fact.
Oh, yeah.
You are going out under the mazal of Ra'ah. That has ramifications. There's nothing you can do about that.
It sounds a bit like Avodah Kochav.
Why? Why is that Avodah Kochavim?
Because you're believing like this Kochav.
But there's a kochav that God made. It's only if you think that kochav is in place of God.
Right.
God has no
parented
control.
It.
One second. If I say you're subject to the rules of genetics, and lo aleinu, we checked your genes, and you're going to get sick.
Yeah.
You wouldn't say that's a avodah zarah.
No.
You would say that's science. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's empirical.
We just what?
It's
statistical. It's statistically indicated. It's not empirical.
But you did see a lot of astrology because they did have it like you see these old buildings in the floor, the tile floors. Mm,
right.
There's astrology. And
here's my question: what do you do with all these legends of like the Torah says that Chartumei Mitzrayim knew black magic? What do you do with that? They knew it. You could say that it was all sleight of hand. What, were they idiots?
No, it has so much to do with it.
Right. So does it exist? So if you believe that, then why wouldn't you believe that there are forces in the world that we don't know?
I do believe, but I'm saying okay. It's interesting that Rashi takes what Paro says and talks about it as being fair. That's what
I'm
saying is interesting.
Okay, let's read the Kliyakar. Hi, man, you could be a moel or a slaughterer or a shochet, right? Or a murderer. The reason is God doesn't change the system. Meaning he placed, and we believe actually, there's a very big mitzvah called ma'akeh. Right? There's a ma'akeh. You have to put a fence around your roof. Why do we've done the ma'akeh, haven't we? Why do you have to put a fence around your roof? Because you might fall. Oh, you'll ask, well, if a person deserves to fall, then he should fall. And if he's not going to supposed to die, then he shouldn't fall. What in the world? Why do you have to place a fence?
Shouldn't come through you.
No. The answer the Chinuch gives is because God put in the world a physical system. If you're driving and you get into an accident, if you're not wearing a seatbelt, you'll fly through the window. Okay? And God isn't going to do a nace to save you. Right? He's not going to change the system. You work within the system. So it says, Kliyakar, same thing true of the metaphysical system.
Well, he could do
an ace. You got to be pretty, pretty special to get that ace.
Of course, I'm saying.
You could do anything he wants. Do anything he wants, but don't expect it.
She works within
nature. Okay. Right. That's what I actually find this, right? She, okay. God will, what will God do to those who are fearful and believing in him? When there is a direction for something bad to happen in the ma'aracha, whatever that means, you know what I'm saying? Somebody typed into the system, ordered up, bad, okay? Like, we were supposed to, in the Gulf War, we were supposed to get hit 39 times. We got hit by 39 Scud missiles. One person was killed.
One person died.
One person. Nace or not nace? No, luck. What?
Nice galui.
Only if you see it that way. Right? Why couldn't God say, why couldn't we not get hit at all? Why? Because in the system, we were supposed to get hit. We were supposed to have fires this year. How many people were killed in fires? What? What? Really? Like, we don't think about that. Yes, everybody helped, and yes... We just like, oh, nobody got killed. Great. Go back to normal. You know what I'm saying? The same, at Mamish, the same month in America, there were fires, 17 people were killed. The same month. Be'ofen she'shomer mitzvah lo yeda davaras. God can turn. So you could say, why were there fires? You have to ask yourself, why was this davara miyuad for us? Why do we have to have the fires? Why do we have to deal with that at all? It's a different question. People very often try to, how can you ask? How can you say? You know, they anytime a rabbi says something, they say, oh, because of whatever. And that's like, you know, because women drive or stupid, you know, ridiculous things like that. But what we do then do is because rabbis are afraid of saying something, then we never ask the second question. Well, why do we have the fires at all? Like, what are we doing wrong? And God forbid, you're not allowed to say that in today's day and age. Because then you're...
In our circles, they don't say it, but of course they say it.
And they're ridiculed in the media.
We ridicule them.
Right, but is that reasonable? Is it reasonable that we ridicule people who are trying to find a reason that bad things happen on a national level? Is that okay?
Well, we feel we're supposed to ask the question.
Yes, you are supposed to.
But we feel it's judgmental. We feel it's a waste of someone else.
Umishpat, says the Kli Yakar. But that egotism of saying we don't know leads us to say we don't even have to ask the question.
But you can ask Lemet for what?
What?
You can ask Lemet.
You can ask
Lemet. Not why, but for what? What are we supposed to get out of it? What are we supposed
to
get from it?
Umishpat ha-ma'aracha yitkayem al kol panim. The system is going to happen. So you have to ask yourself, in what way is the system going to happen? Meaning, it's back to this Gemara. It's exactly the same Gemara. You're going to lose 700 dinar. Now, you got to ask yourself, either a tree's going to fall on your house, or you're going to give it all to tzedakah. But you're not going to have that 700 dinar at the end of the year. That's the way it is. It was written up in the system, already ordered.
Except, like, when we daven, like, something's going wrong, right? Like, God forbid someone's sick or whatever. We believe that our davening can change the system, don't we? Like, we believe... We're davening for a change. When we go daven for someone who looks like they're going to die, we are davening. Why? Because maybe there'll be a nest. Maybe Hashem will change it. Otherwise, why would we go and daven and pray for things that are so obvious that they're not going to happen?
If you say that when it doesn't happen and the nace doesn't happen, then you're davening what's for
Wow, it got very deep. I don't know. I don't know.
So then why are you davening for yourself, to make yourself feel better? No, we
to make yourself aware of the fact that it's coming from Hashem.
But we believe in this thing. We believe it could change.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Wait. So now there's a huge machloket at the end of Masechet Shabbat about whether yesh mazal li Yisrael or ain mazal li Yisrael. Okay, is there mazal to Yisrael or not? Okay, and the what?
I mean, there is that opinion. That opinion, I don't know, amongst Chazal that
yesh.
Like I
said, no, there is a system. Everybody agrees that there's a system. Everybody agrees that there's a system. The question is, yesh mazal li Yisrael or ain mazal Yisrael? Are we above the system or are we subject to the system? That's the machlok. It's not yesh mazal or ain mazal. All Chazal agree that there are mazalot. I don't know.
Right.
That way. Oh, so again, that's on the spectrum of rationalist. What's the opposite of rationalist? Supernaturalist? Okay. Right? Is. What? What's that? Right, no, you don't. Right. So, rationalists will tell you everything is as a system, everything happens normally, and God can intervene, but almost never does. And irrationalists will tell you there is no systems, everything God does all the time. You know what I'm saying? It's a spectrum, and I don't know where I fall. You know what I'm saying? There are those two. Who are we to say one? It's a question of belief. Who are we to say one or the other? You know, which one is one?
Moshe begs God to change God's decrees in the Torah.
No, Moshe begs God to turn the decree of Ra'ah into Damila. Oh, by the way, the Kliakra says, and that's what Paro said, who needs Damila? Who is the people that, who are the people that can have Mila? I see blood in your future. So who has Mila? The men, Luchuna Gvarim, Ki Ota Etem Mevakshim, Ru'u Ki Ra'ah Neged Pneichem, I see blood. If you take the children and the women, it's going to be bad. That blood is going to be in another way. That's why I only take the men. I'm giving you good, solid advice here. I'm a believing person. Thank you, Paro. Okay. Says the Gemara, says, and there's a long Gemara at the end of Masechet Shabbat. Okay? Da-da-da-da-da. Rabbi Chanina Amar, Itmar, Rabbi Chanina Amar, Mazal Machkim, Mazal Ma'ashir, V'yesh Mazal Yisrael. There's a Mazal Machkim for smarts. There's a Mazal for wealth. Derech Agav. Many people say that. A lot of people work very hard and don't make it. Some people, they work hard and boom! They just hit it at the right time, the right idea, the right, you know what I'm saying? You know, Zuckerberg got Facebook at the right time and the right place. There are plenty of people that are equally smart to him, and they don't.
Like the buddies who helped him.
Right. Right. You know? Why did this person incredibly wealthy, and this person, like Chazal say, people work very hard. Just, whatever. Okay? And there's Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ein Mazal Yisrael. Okay? There's no Mazal Yisrael. Okay. Va'asavar Rav ain mazal Yisrael. And how do I know? And he brought. How do you know? Shneemar says about Avraham. Va'yetze oto hachutza. God took Avraham hachutza. And remember, that was one of my favorite riddles. Who was the first astronaut in the history of the world? Avraham. Why? Because hachutza. Yeah. He took him over the stars and showed him that you are bisholet. Your children will not be subject to the rules of the stars. Okay, I had one second. Same anstignut shelcha. Ixtagninut. Leave your astrology behind. Ein mazal Yisrael. Then the Gemara tells a bunch of stories. I'm going to read you a couple of stories, because they're interesting stories, because they're trying to prove ein mazal Yisrael. I'll read the second story, Rabbi Akiva. This is a Gemara in Shabbat Kuf Nun Vav Amud Bet. Rabbi Akiva Nami. How do we know Rabbi Akiva ein mazal Yisrael? She'ein mazal Yisrael. Rabbi Akiva, how about they barta? Rabbi Akiva had a daughter. Amri le kaldai, hahu yom ada'ili lebe ginana, tarik le chivya umaita. So a Chaldean came to him and said, on her wedding day, a snake will come, a serpent will come and kill her. I.e., I've seen it. Okay? Hava da'iga amilta tuva. He was very upset, very worried about this. Da'iga. Ahu yoma shakalta lemikavnata. Daitsta beguda. That day, she had a hairpin. And she was like, you know, doing her hair. She put down her hair and stuck it in the wall. Itrame iti be'eni dechivira. And she stuck it into the eye of the snake. She killed the snake. Litzafra, in the morning, I mean that night, the night before her wedding, she put down her hair, she took this hairpin, stuck it in the wall, and she killed the snake.
It was the night of her wedding.
What?
It was the night of her wedding.
The night of her wedding. Litzafra, in the morning, kikashaklele, when she took out the pin, she saw, okay, havikasarik v'ati chibia batrei, she saw she had a snake on it. Okay, a serpent, a very poisonous snake. Amr le avua. I don't know. Amr le avuha. So her father said, meaning Rabbi Akiva felt helpless. He knew his daughter was going to die, but couldn't do anything about it. He wakes up in the morning, she gets up, and she says, weirdest thing, you know, there's a snake, okay? I killed it. Amr le avuha, my avarit. What did you do? Amr le bipanya, ati anya kara ababa. In the evening, a poor person came and knocked on the door. Everyone's busy with the wedding. They're all getting ready with the wedding. Nobody could listen to him. This poor guy knocks on the door. Nobody answered. Nobody did anything. I got up and I took my meal in the wedding, meaning they're at the wedding hall or whatever. This poor person comes in. No, oh, whatever. Everybody's busy. So I took my meal from the wedding meal. I gave it to him. He said, mitzvah avadit. You did a mitzvah? Nafak. Rabbi Akiva, Bedarash, Rabbi Akiva went out and made a drasha, Utsdaka tatzil mimavet. Tzedakah can save from death. V'lo mimita meshuna, ela af mimita atzma. It won't only save you from a bad death to a good death, it can save you entirely. So yesh mazal Yisrael, or ain mazal Yisrael? Does that prove yes or no? Yeah. Bro. Yesh mazal Yisrael. There was a mazal. You can change it if you can overcome it. And you know what I'm saying? Rabbi Akiva believed in it. The Gemara says, "Oh, ain mazal Yisrael." It's not that there is no mazal Yisrael. He believed in it. We're subject to the systems. If you do an incredible act, tzedakah has incredible power. If you give tzedakah, tzedakah tatzil mimavet. Right? She did something really me'al me'aver. In the middle of her wedding, she had the wherewithal, or she had the awareness to notice this poor person. Nobody else noticed him. And she said, she gave her food to this guy to eat. That's tzedakah tatzil mimavet. That's an act that can save. But otherwise, he fully expected to get up in the morning, she was dead. Why? Yesh mazal. There are systems.
You say on Rosh Hashanah that you can change the decree.
You can change it, but there's a decree.
Right.
So where do we fall? I'm not to tell anybody how, where, what, which way to believe, which yes or no. But Rashi, we started from the Rashi. We saw the Gemara in Bava Basra from Days Daf Yomi. We saw about Parnassa. We saw Chazal clearly had this belief. There are systems. There are physical systems. There are metaphysical systems. Can you change them? You can. But it's not easy. We'll stop here.